Jesus is a guest at a Pharisee's house. A Pharisee, layperson, religious expert, someone spends time memorizing Torah, the sacred scriptures. And as soon as the meal begins, after a prayer, a blessing, the discussion begins. Jewish men gathered in homes for evening meals and had theological discussions around the table. And as the meal begins, this woman of the city, a woman who's a sinner, woman of the city, and let your imagination play with that phrase, intrudes into the dinner table. And she, with these men gathered there at the dinner table, and throws herself down at the feet of Jesus and starts weeping. She lets down her hair, wiping it. Yes, dear, letting down her hair meant the same thing then as it does today. She let down her hair, and she's just wiping his feet with her tears. And, well, it's more than the Pharisee can take. And he said, himself loud enough for everybody at the table to hear, "Huh, they call this man a prophet. If he were a real prophet, he would be able to see what kind of woman this is. This woman who touches him." Isn't that the difference between a prophet and a non-prophet? A prophet is somebody who has this gift to see sin, honest to God, sin, and to name it when he sees it. I just finished last week the annual conference of the North Alabama Conference, Methodist Church, and there we debated organized gambling. We talked about the evils of the gambling interest. All the legislators of Alabama in favor of gambling and all, this is okay. But no, we're Christians. We see the sin they don't see. The Pharisee says, they call him a prophet. Anybody can see. She's a woman of the city. She's a sinner who touches him. And Chris would want me to add that the Greek word hopto, that the NRSV politely translates touch, it can also be translated as caress, fondle, okay? I know, all right, but this, he could say what kind of woman this is. It's caressing him here at the table. And then Jesus says, Simon, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? This also is a daughter of Abraham. She's a sinner. Who were the children of Abraham that God loved and persevered with so long? Do you see this woman? One of the reasons I think we come to church is to get our spectacles, to get our glasses on. John Calvin said that Scripture is the lens through which we Christians look at the world. We look at the world through these little Bible stories. And what do we see? It kind of reminds me, this story, of another story. Jesus and disciples one day at the door of the temple. People coming in. The rich dropping these big bags of money into the offering. And the disciples were impressed. Look at these big gifts. And Jesus looks at this widow who drops in this tiny little coin, just one coin. You could hardly see it, it was so small. And Jesus says, that coin is greater than all the bags of money that these rich people have given. She's given out of her poverty. They gave out of their surplus. And Jesus did that a lot, sort of focus. Help us to see what we would have missed if we hadn't been looking with Jesus. In the church in Germany, where Martin Luther preached, there is an altarpiece by Lucius Cranach, a German Renaissance painter, and it's a picture of the crucified Christ on the cross. But on one side of the altarpiece is Martin Luther preaching to his congregation, and there's Luther in his pulpit holding forth. And on the other side of the altarpiece is the congregation, all this little town in Germany, standing there listening to Luther preach. Get it? The preacher preaches to the congregation through Christ. Christ is between us, in the middle of us. And the congregation looks back at the preacher in the pulpit through Christ. And therefore we see differently. That's the definition of a Christian, is somebody that tries to look at the world through the crucified Christ. And that can make you see the world differently. I remember as a young pastor, had a woman that was struggling with alcohol addiction and in my congregation. And she had a major office in the congregation. And normally she functioned fine, but occasionally she would fall off the wagon, and she would call me to come over and have prayer with her. And my biggest objection is she never seemed to have one of these alcoholic binges except late on Saturday night, when you shouldn't be calling preachers for help of any kind on late Saturday night. And I would beg her. I said, the alcoholism is bad enough, but please confine it to week nights at convenient times. And anyway, because I'm such a good pastor, I was over there Saturday morning, 1 o'clock, out there sitting with her, and she was in a violent mood, and I thought, how much time have I wasted over here? And I also thought, it's just outrageous, someone like this having an office in the church, being one of our congregational leaders. I can't have a church that led by people like this. And I had resolved the next day I was going to do something to get her off the board, and what kind of example is this setting? And I finally left there about 2 in the morning, thinking in just a few hours I'm going to be back up. I got to preach 2 sermons this Sunday and all. And I got in there, and I was preaching for the first lesson that Sunday, not the gospel. I got in there, and I went through the first lesson that I was going to preach from, and I got to the second lesson, and it was Jesus. And the disciples were saying, Jesus, we can't pay attention to your religious lecture. How about sending these bratty children out? Don't we have a nursery or something? Get the children out of here. Send the children away. And Jesus says, let the immature, inept, ignorant, out of control kids come to me. Let them come to me. This is the kingdom of God. And I just read that scripture, and I could hardly speak. In that moment, that troublesome parishioner, in that moment, I got to view her subspecie aeternatis, under the eyes of God, just for that moment. Well, that happens. I was at a church meeting, and the minister invited me over there to lead a discussion in the congregation about health care reform, because the minister is such a coward and couldn't lead it himself. Had me come over there so then I can dump it on, then I can leave. We were having a discussion, and during the discussion, most of the speakers were against the health care reform package. I confessed I don't understand it. I don't know what it's but we were talking about it, and people were lining up, I thought, some really good rational arguments against health care reform. And then one of the people said, I tell you, How many people here are satisfied with your health care provider? I certainly am. All these hands went up. All of us are completely satisfied with our health care. This is nuts. There's a woman sitting there, a public health nurse, but also a Methodist. And she spoke up and she said, "What a stupid question. That's an inappropriate question in a church discussion." And I said, "Why is it wrong to ask, are you satisfied with your health care?" And she said, "We're Christians. The question is my neighbor satisfied with her health care?" And suddenly the whole thing got out of whack. It got refocused. We sort of saw differently. Jesus tells a parable toward the end of Matthew's gospel that I was in jail. You didn't visit me. I was sick. You didn't visit me. I was hungry. I was naked. You didn't clothe me. And you remember the response? "Lord, when did we see you?" I guarantee if we'd seen you, we would have responded. But you see, we didn't see you. When were you naked and clothed? When did we see you? Maybe it's church is kind of training to view the world sub specie aeternatus, to see things as that we often choose not to see. I remember when Chris was a student at Duke. Duke had a weekend in October, of which I did not approve, but called Oktoberfest. I don't know whether, Chris, did you ever participate in Oktoberfest? All right. And it was a whole, they started drinking on Friday at noon and drank all through Friday and Saturday, and the carousing, the promiscuous behavior, all right in front of the chapel. It was just, and I was standing out there with an older professor, a retired professor, a Presbyterian, and we were standing there looking at this bacchanalian brawl happening in front of us with these students, and this Presbyterian professor says to me, "Do you know what for me is the chief proof of our Lord's divinity?" And I said, "What? What? Why on earth would you bring that up now?" And he said, it is that phrase there in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, where it says, "He looked upon the multitudes and he had compassion." I look upon this, I want to mow them all down with a machine gun. I want to, in oblivion. Well, it is a difference between us and Jesus. He does look at things differently. But more than that, he teaches us to. I got a letter from a layperson a few months ago. I get a lot of these letters. And the subject of all these letters is the same, complaining about their pastor. And this particular letter said, "I went to church on Sunday morning to worship God and have a nice experience. And at church, during the prayer for others, our pastor prayed for Osama bin Laden." And I tell you, I don't come to church for this kind of thing, and this is outrageous. And our pastor is gone over the edge, and I worry about it. So I called the pastor. I was kind of surprised because it was kind of a pastor. I'd met the pastor, kind of a meek kind of person. And I said, "You know, I've got a letter here from a layperson, and you know these lay people, sometimes they exaggerate and all, but this person claims that you actually prayed for Osama bin Laden in a service of worship last Sunday." He said, yep, sure did. And I said, "Really? Well, you know, the lay people, they don't know how to take this sometimes. This is kind of a jolt for a lot of our that kind. I'm just curious why you chose to pray for this
terrorist leader in a Methodist service of worship. I just want to have you did that. And he said, look, Bishop, just for your information, that man that you look upon as a kind of an uneducated, unemployed Jew from Nazareth, I look upon him as the Son of God. And he's the one that said, pray for your enemies and bless those who persecute you. So maybe you and I just kind of look at it different. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. You leave church sometimes with different spectacles, looking at the world, looking at God. And those moments may be some of the most miraculous, wonderful, countercultural work that God does in us. I was with a pastor on a weekday, and we were sitting in his office, and we were complaining about the church, which is what pastors enjoy doing when we're alone. And complaining about the conservative quality of the church and the hidebound nature of the church and the bureaucratic, and we're just sinking lower and lower and lower. And finally, when the conversation was just down on the floor, and he said to me, hey, you got a minute before you go. Let me just show you something. And we, here in downtown Birmingham, Alabama, in this inner city church, we walked from his office down a labyrinth of stairs down to the basement. And there at the basement were two older women. And there was a washing machine and a dryer, and both of them running, and these two women appeared to be folding clothes. And I said, what is this? I couldn't see. And he said, this is part of our ministry to the homeless that are around the church. We got some other people in the next room, and they're busy making phone calls for people and getting people IDs and trying to get them work. These two women are basically washing clothes because, you know, when you're homeless and you're on the street, one of the hardest things to do is get your clothes washed. So they bring them by here, and they put them in those sacks and label them, and then they wash them and dry them, and then they fold them, and then they tie it back up and put a sign on there, Highlands Methodist Church, we love you, and God loves you. Please join us for worship next Sunday. And suddenly, in this dark and drab place, it was like a light shone. Surely the Lord was in this place, and I couldn't even see it. Thanks be to God.